You will be called blessed. Such a blessing. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66. We'll read one verse there. We may go to a few more places, but we'll see. Isaiah chapter 66. And look with me at one verse, verse 24. I'm sorry, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. What a comparison. God compares himself with a mother, a godly mother. And we'll see some of that today. Thank God for our moms. Amen. And this is their day. It's a special day. We honor them, and we want to do them justice today. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for how you love us, the care for us, the mercy and the grace you show us. Thank you for godly mothers and what wonderful input they have in the lives of their children. And I pray they'd be honored today. May everything that's said and done honor you and honor our mothers today in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, there's so much to say. Comfort is a great word. It's a great word. We look at that. And it means to strengthen the mind when depressed or enfeebled. And those are big words, to console, to cheer, to relieve from depression, or to answer the phone. Amen? That can happen too. But they're big words and they mean a lot. If you remember Job in the Old Testament, he really had some trials. I don't think anybody has suffered other than the Lord like that. But he had some friends, and God bless friends when you need them. Amen? But the Bible says his friends came to mourn with him and to comfort him. That's in chapter 2 and verse 11. But a little later on, they became miserable comforters because they went from comforting to criticizing. And sometimes we have friends that are like that. They ride the roller coaster. One day it's good and one day it isn't. Moms aren't like that. Amen. They love all the time. But anyway, comfort is an attribute of God. He's the God of all comfort. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is called a comforter. And comfort is that which gives strength or support in distress, difficulty, danger, or infirmity. We can count on our moms. There are a lot of attributes of our Lord. He is love. God is love. He's mercy. He's grace. He's forgiveness. He's kindness. He's gentleness. All of those things are the attributes of God, and comfort is one of those. And what a wonderful thing to be able to go to somebody, a friend, a relative, your mom, or the Lord, and be comforted. And we know that who have been through trials. In Titus chapter 2, the Bible says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity. And the greatest of these is charity. And charity is being kind. Charity is not thinking evil of somebody. But it says, in grace, and patience. But it goes on in verse 3 and says, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Mothers teach their children, a lot by instruction, but a lot by example. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So there's teaching that we get just by being alone with the Lord, by searching the scriptures, and he does teach us. It's the best book in the world, amen? It's full of instruction. God is love, and so it's easy to teach. 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is giving advice to Timothy. He's a young preacher, and he's telling him how to treat the women in his church. And it says, treat the elder women as mothers. I've tried to do that. I've been trying to get Paulus to adopt me for a number of years. And I would take her down to fill out the papers. I would be available. And we could all be brothers and sisters. Amen? That'd be great. So think about that, Paulus, you know, and make a commitment. But anyway, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. We come to Mark chapter 7, verse 10. Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. That is one of the Ten Commandments out of Exodus chapter 20. That's also in Deuteronomy 5:16. Paul speaks about this in the book of Ephesians and the book of Philippians and the book of Colossians. And it's such an important thing here. You know, it's, well, we do this for our moms, but to honor your mother, that is such a precious, precious truth. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. That's also recorded in Proverbs 1:8. And we're going to see something about that in a little bit, the law of thy mother. It is not a bad law. It's a law of kindness. It's the law of mercy. It's the law of love. And boy, to follow that is such a precious, precious thing. Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. I've read three texts, three scriptures, the aged women, the elder women, and then when she is old. The Bible always takes care of a mother. And I want to give you this instruction today. It's probably something you're already doing that's already precious to you, but maybe just a little reinforcement. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, despise not thy mother when she is old, or when she's old-fashioned. Amen? Sometimes they know, and I'll read a couple things for you. Having lived longer in the world, she must be thought to have larger experience and knowledge of things, and therefore should be hearkened unto. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Despise not her counsels, instructions, advice, though she is old. I want to read these verses, and I want you to notice this is in two verses. I'll give you three. Buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And here's the two verses. The father of the righteous shall rejoice greatly, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Two verses, rejoice, joy, glad, and rejoice again. That's why we celebrate Mother's Day. Amen? Because there's a wise child and a wise mother who's instructing that child. And you see God in both their relationships. It's a wonderful thing. Remember in Luke chapter 15 when the prodigal came home? They had a party. Amen? That's why we have two cakes in the back. And you're hoping that I preach a short sermon, probably. But it's time to celebrate. It's time to rejoice. Man, if you have godly children, or if you have a godly mother, that's something to really enjoy and be happy about. When she is old, when old age with its consequent infirmities comes upon thy mother, despise her not, but rather thank God for giving her long life and profit by her love and long experience. She is not a burden. She is a blessing. We all are getting older. Well, not all of us. There's a couple of youngsters in here. But we get older and things go wrong. Amen? We don't see like we used to. You don't hear like you used to. Amen. But that's the time to honor your mother. Amen. When she's older. And love her with all your heart because she loves you with all her heart. And of course, we're talking about a relationship between mother and child. And a biblical relationship is so wonderful because of purity, respect, love. Those are a lot of great words too. And you can look at each of those individually. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, the writer said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy. There's a lot of things we do for mom on Mother's Day. Amen? Cards. I tell you what I do with the cards. Linda and I went down to Myers yesterday, and we just go to the card aisle, and I say, read that whole row, and that's my gift to you today. You know, they're wonderful cards, and you can't buy them all, right? But anyway, we give gifts. Don't we give gifts? You give chocolate, you do that. There's all kinds of things we do. We have breakfast in bed. Any mothers get breakfast in bed today? Laughter. See, that's laughter. That's a good thing. That's wonderful. Flowers. I don't know if you've got flowers. Maybe your husband or your children are taking you out to dinner. Or maybe you've just cleaned the house for your mom. I know that's going too far. Amen. How about just pick up your socks? That would work. That would work pretty good. But what do we do on Mother's Day? We honor our mother. We honor our mother. That's biblical. Amen. It's something God says to do. It's something that pleases the Lord as well as pleases your mom, to be remembered, to be honored for all that she has done. Back in the Old Testament, there's a king by the name of Ahaziah, and I think he began to reign when he was either 42 or 45, but his mother's name was Athaliah. You might be familiar with this. In 2 Chronicles 22:3, it says about the king, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Ahab was not a good king nor a good person, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. The reason he did and took that road, because his mother was his counselor to do wickedly and ruined his life. Not all mothers are godly. Not all mothers want you to follow the right course. Amen. But a godly mother will desire that. And there's no greater joy when that happens in the life of a child. What a blessing. What a shame it is to use such a wonderful office to be wasted on something frivolous. The prophet Isaiah's example is a godly mother, and he's our comforter. Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take thee up. And that is so true. That's a favorite verse of mine because that's how I was raised. I really wasn't raised in church and just saw a bad example in the home. But God in his mercy gave me a good wife. She introduced me to the Lord, and I'm your pastor now. Amen? And amen. Come on, we have visitors. We have visitors. Okay. The Bible says, Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. And so we have a comparison with a godly mother and God himself. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I remember one time growing up that I had a really bad earache, and my mom took me in her arms. I must have been just a little guy, and she rocked me, and the earache just disappeared. And I remember that. I wish she was here with us today. She's with the Lord now. God really changed her life. And I will see her again one day. But I wish I could crawl up in her lap. You know, you're never too old for that. Maybe too heavy, but not too old. But I wish I could just hold my mother today. And if you're able to hold yours, hold her tight. Amen. If you're able to speak to her, praise her for her goodness, her kindness, her love, all the wonderful things that she has done. Recently, I mentioned thanking the church for praying for our daughter. A friend of hers called us when she was in the hospital, and right away, as soon as we got the call, she lives in Three Rivers. I don't know if you know where that is. It's a little ways away. And she was in the hospital in Kalamazoo, and we live right here. And as soon as we got the call, Linda's got clothes in the car. She's got everything packed up, the suitcase. We're spending the day. We're going to do everything we can just to be there. And one of the things our daughter said while we were there, she says, I just want my mom. And she's 55. Amen. And it was a miracle. She had her, my wife had her when she was 12. So, amen. But all she wanted was her mom. All she wanted was her mom. And what a blessing, that is. Okay, amen. One whom his mother comforted. The words are characteristic at once of the special tie which unites the son or daughter to the mother. He's the God of all comfort, the God of all comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. God comforts us, we comfort other people. God is comfort, amen? And we're the instruments that take that comfort to other people. That's the source and the requirement. Isaiah 40 and verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her iniquity is pardoned. That's the message we try and bring every week from this pulpit, that your iniquity can be pardoned. You can be forgiven. You can find the mercy of God because he's such a loving God. He so wants that relationship. He so wants, he loves you and he wants you to love him. He wants to comfort us so that we're able to comfort other people. And that's just a great part of the Christian life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." What were those words? Those words were involved in showing somebody that they will see their loved ones again and were comforted through the scriptures. It's a balm for any sorrow. Romans 15:4, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. We're comforted by the Bible. That's God speaking to us. We're comforted by a friend, by a loved one, because that's God speaking through them to us. God wants to comfort us. And there's a lot of comfort that we need, is there not? The days can be hard. You know, you can be frustrated, anxious, all those different things. And we just need the Lord to put his arm around us and hold us. When you talk about the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, I really love this portion of scripture. It says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." That's the law of a mother. In her mouth, in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's the words that she speaks. Amen. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the truth is coming out in her language. And that's just like God. Three things we find the psalmist say in Psalm 18. "Thou hast given me the shield of salvation, thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Protection, support, kindness, just like mom. Boy, I can think of some wonderful times, can't you? I don't know what this day looks like to you. I don't know what you're going to be doing today. Probably family get-togethers, amen. Get pictures, get lots of pictures, hug one another, love one another. Because it's a special, special day. Emily Dickinson wrote this: "A mother is one to whom you hurry when you're troubled." Very true. Bradley Foster wrote, "Perhaps the reason we respond so universally to our mother's love is because it typifies the love of our Savior." Russell Nelson, "The highest and noblest work in this life is that of a mother." Amen. Victor Hugo, "A mother's arms are made of tenderness, and children sleep soundly in them." They just want their mom. What a privilege we have. So good to be in church, amen? And if you're here with your mom, just love her and pick up your socks, amen? She will appreciate that. There's a hymn that has, "In the arms of my dear Savior." It's a line from the hymn, "Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy." It expresses the desire to be embraced and comforted by Jesus Christ. The phrase signifies reliance on Christ's love and mercy and a sense of being safe and secure in his care. In the hymn written by Joseph Hart in 1757, encourages individuals to come to Jesus for salvation regardless of their past or present state. A mother's love never dies for her child. It may be ignored, it may not be reciprocal, but it never goes away. Amen. And God's doesn't either. He is love and he loves his children. It goes on and it says, the line, "I will arise and go to Jesus, he will embrace me in his arms," is the central theme, highlighting the willingness of Jesus to receive those who seek him. The hymn also emphasizes the 10,000 charms found in being in Christ's arms, suggesting the multitude of blessings and joys that come with faith and acceptance of his love. Jeremiah Burroughs wrote a wonderful book, years and years ago, but it was about encouragement and about love and all of the things that God can provide for us. And he compared God's attributes and his love for us like a diamond that had many facets, many sides. And you look at this side, maybe this is mercy, maybe this one's grace, maybe this one's forgiveness, but they all shine and they all work together to make that beautiful gem shine. Fanny Crosby wrote, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. These are familiar songs. Charles Wesley, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life has passed, safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. One song we sang today was Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, safe and secure from all alarms. It's amazing how many hymns address this need for love and comfort, amen, for protection, for help, for guidance, for wisdom. And we sing them over and over, and sometimes they become so familiar that we lose the meaning. Songs are good. They're wonderful just to sing. And sometimes we're thinking about the words and sometimes we're not. But that's a great song. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, safe and secure from all alarms. If you're able today, hug your mother. Amen. Tell her that you love her and you appreciate her. I guarantee you she'll hug you back. Well, I haven't talked to my mom in a long time. We'll get on the phone and call her. Amen. Well, my mother isn't everything she needs to be. And I hate to tell you this, but we're not everything we need to be. Amen. But we all need this love and forgiveness and kindness on a wonderful day like today, because she shall be praised. She shall be praised. God desires that. Enter into his courts with praise, into his house with thanksgiving. And so here we are. We just want to honor mom today.